Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Here we are. Very welcome. We're doing a LinkedIn Live as well as we do this. I'd like to extremely welcome Mr. Martin Parr, who is quite rightly described as being the godfather of British photography. The godfather. We're going to do something which is, how do you like these apples, later on. Loved researching you. It's no exaggeration, I read, to say that without Martin Parr's exemplary practice, today's British photography scene would be much impoverished, and it would certainly be a lot less fun. So yes, you're a British documentary photographer, photojournalist, and photo book collector. I got in touch with you, just to blow an extra bit of happy smoke at you, a couple of weeks ago, because you said your favourite restaurant was Sunny Stores, which is in Bristol, where I live, literally about 500 metres away. And that, also, I've known of your work and the Martin Parr Foundation for many, many years. I've also loved many of your photographs. So I just wanted to try and hook you. And then I was very, very chuffed because when I'd sent you the message, you said, I'm a bit podcasted and a bit interviewed out, but I'll do yours. So thank you. Thank you very much for being here. So Martin Parr, how's morale? What's your story of the day is what I normally ask. But as you're a photographer, what's your photograph of the day, please? What's the most recent photograph you've taken?
I haven't done any photos today. We've had some students from Hal Zoen College down, so we've been showing them round. And when I was last photographing, well, I think it was last Friday, when I was down in Breen photographing the Country and Western Music Festival.
Lovely. And by the way, talking of festivals, this is what I knew about you anyway, but it says with your clunky DSLR zoom lens and sandals, it does much to disarm your subjects and allows you to get really in amongst them in a way that's totally unthreatening, but then you're right there with your lens getting in amongst fellow Britons, most of whom are either at Glastonbury Festival, by the beach, but you're celebrating all things iconic to do with British life and you're looking at the class system as well.
I guess, and leisure is my main subject. You know, if I had to sort of sum up my whole activity, I'd say it's the leisure pursuits of the Western world. And I, in particular, here in the UK, and within that, even more so in England, because I live in England, I photograph here. But I have done bodies of work in Wales, Ireland, and Scotland as well.
And I know the Martin Parr Foundation is very much about preserving British and Irish culture, and you're a real advocate for, you know, unsung photographers as well through the foundation as well, overlooked, as you call them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we do show people who are known. We often show bodies of work that people haven't seen before. But there's nothing we like better than to actually show a photographer who's never had a show before and to hopefully, you know, hook up and get them a book at the same time, get them lots of publicity. So this, in a sense, is, I guess, our best activity and the one we feel and get most satisfaction from.
And by the way, one of your really iconic photographs in beach therapy was of the Mar del Plata, Argentina photograph in 2014, which for me was really, really reminiscent of the Ouija photograph that is in a place where I regularly have for many, many years gone to in Cornwall, a holiday house that a friend's parent owns that we go to. And mm-hmm. I've often sat, too much information, whilst on the looking at this Ouija photograph, which is the one that took place on Coney Island Beach at midday. Yeah,
the one with lots of people in.
Yes.
But the difference is they're all waving to Ouija in my picture. No one's looking at me whatsoever. I mean, I was using a telephoto lens. He'd have been using a standard lens. I was during my exploration of how you can photograph on the beaches with a telephoto. Having done every other combination previously, I've always used the beach as my sort of experimental lab. Yeah. So this is the latest phase to test out what would happen with the telephoto.
And you're in St. Ives Beach, I gather, or in St. Ives recently as well at high season.
That's correct, yeah, yeah. I mean, the book Beach Therapy has got pictures from as far away as Argentina, right down to a lot of pictures taken at St. Ives. I really like the beaches there. I like the fact you can have this foliage in front of it. So I was playing around with that and trying to make interesting pictures.
And the ice cream van, forgive me for not knowing the actual title of it, but the one that's very aerial viewed with people queuing for an ice cream on a very big, expansive beach.
Oh, that's Tenby.
Tenby, sorry. Thank you for being here. You said to me a couple of minutes ago that I promised you something different and you'd be quite grumpy if it's not, you said.
Exactly, yeah. When's the different bit going to come up?
Well, I've been blowing happy smoke at you till this point to prove that I've done the research and I'm really, really happy to have you here in all sincerity.
Okay, thank you.
The difference comes now. I'm delighted to curate you through the unique storyscape of the Good Listening To Show, which is all going to be taking place energetically in a clearing or serious happy place of your choosing. In a moment, I'm going to ask you where your clearing is. Then there's a lovely, juicy storytelling construct called 5-4-3-2-1. There's a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake.
Blimey.
So it's all to play for, and already you're smiling a bit, so I'm assuming you're fairly enjoying yourself. So let me get you on the open road of this. What is, first of all, a clearing for Martin Parr at British...
What do you mean by a clearing? I mean, just... I don't know if I have a favourite clearing, because clearings are quite rare.
Well, yes, too many people in them. What I mean is a serious, happy place of your choosing, when you're most at peace.
I'll go to the apartment we have in Tenby, where we have a great view of the Castle Beach in Tenby on one side and the Harbour Beach on the other side. So it's we're going there tomorrow, in fact. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a small exhibition at Tenby Museum. I'll be attending the opening tomorrow evening.
And with the vista, with you overlooking the beach, are you sometimes there with a long camera lens capturing, expecting photos?
I have done that, but it's better to get out onto the footpath slightly below us. We're three floors up, so it's probably a bit high. The view's probably better if you go... I mean, the view's great, but for photographing purposes, it's better to go down a bit.
And if you bought it yourself, presumably you're not like a sort of unhappy inhabitant of John Cleese's hotel in Torquay, where you're desperate for the sea view. You've actually got one.
We got sea view plus. I mean, rarely does a flat have two lots of sea views. We have them on either side. So we're very lucky to get that.
Thank you for that. I love the expression sea view plus. So if I may now, we're in your clearing, which is your sea view plus in Tenby, overlooking the beach. I'm now going to arrive with a treat in your clearing to shake your treat to see which storytelling apples fall out. So if you don't mind me rustling in with the tree. So what we're going to do now is we're going to crunch along on some storytelling apples. How do you like these apples? And this is your responses to the following construct. 5-4-3-2-1 is 5 minutes to have thought about. Here we go. Four things, first of all, that have shaped you, Martin Parr, in the work. I know you picked up your first camera when you were 13 and you've not looked back since, or you've been through ever since. So can you think about four things, please, that have shaped you to being the human being you are today?
I guess just being in the right time, the right place, you know, like landing at New Brighton in the 80s was perfect because my wife got a job in Liverpool. And that gave me the opportunity to photograph New Brighton, which in the end is probably my best known body of work. And, you know, it keeps going. The book came out in 86. And I think we're on the sixth or seventh edition now. So it continues to be sold and available. So that's one thing that I was very lucky to find. What else can I say? I mean, seeing the influence of people like Tony Ray Jones and other photographers from America, like Gary Winogrand and Robert Frank, they are an important part of my development. And I guess meeting Susie, my partner, and we've been together now 45 years, which is a long, long time.
And wonderful. And how many children or grandchildren do you have?
Just one kid and one grandchild.
And are they coming with you to Tenby tomorrow, or it's just...
No. They got too much on. She's a chef in London, so she has been to Tenby many times, but not tomorrow.
Wonderful. And do you mind me asking the name of your wife, please, Martin? I know this will be
Susie. Surprising. Yep.
Is the right answer. Everyone's a winner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The station that makes you feel good.
We're still in the canopy of your tree, still in your clearing of the lovely Seaview Plus in Tenby. Three things that inspire you now. If there's any overlap, that's completely fine, but three things that inspire you.
Well, I mean, the trouble is I'm going to say the same things. That's a bit boring, isn't it, really? Like the other photographers that I met, or looked at, you know, which gave me, something to aim towards, because if I could be as good as them, I'd be very happy. So you learn a lot by looking at other photographers. So that's my main set of inspiration, really.
So not just in the world of photography, anything else beyond the photography that may inspire you?
Well, being in the world. The world is a crazy place, isn't it? So trying to make sense of all that is a challenge, and that's something I like to try and do.
And your sense of humour, by the way, is something I've been really struck by. I know that your photography is not without its lovers and haters, because there are people that it's been described where you have an ambiguous, you invoke an ambiguous emotional reaction where people are unsure whether to laugh or cry at some of the observations that you make.
Yeah, and I think that's quite a good way of viewing the work, really. I don't mind that at all. I mean, yeah, I've taken a lot of criticism, and I still get it delivered to me. But, I must have a lot of fans as well, because I got, lots of people on Instagram who follow us, like over 700,000.
Yes.
We've got the workshop and the foundation here, which is basically thriving. Last weekend, we had our big book festival. It's nothing to complain about, really. I'm very happy.
And of course, about the ambiguity, what's really, you might have gathered, I'm definitely in the sort of fanboy camp. I absolutely adore your work. You're renowned for having an intimate, satirical, and anthropological look at aspects of modern life, where you document the social classes of England, and more broadly, as you've already described, the wealth of the Western world. So it's quite an impressive tome and intention.
But, I mean, there are many different projects. Sometimes, you get to know people very well. Sometimes you have no need to get to know people at all. So it's a bit of a generalization, because I think I've done maybe 110 books, something like that. So each one of them has got a different subject matter. It varies as I go on through my photography career. I've got all my negatives here. I've got all my prints, my sort of set of master prints. And we also, collect and acquire photographs of other British documentary photographers, which we house in our archive.
Yep.
Books, we've got a huge collection of books here, maybe 5,000. These are books. Well, we've got one wall full of international books, and the rest of them are full of books from Britain. We've got Wales, Scotland, Ireland, all separated off. And the rest are on the other side, which you can see if you are in here, but I'll show you very quickly.
Yes, please. And the power of the still image, by the way, is everything you're all about, because there's this big debate. I mean, particularly, we're broadcasting on LinkedIn at the moment, and everybody's always saying people respond much more to videos. But I read a very interesting article about you where you were talking to an Australian photography foundation, where you were talking about it's always about the power of the still image, which is the most important thing.
partly because of how we do memory recall.
If you look at the major events in the last 100 years or so, we always remember it by still images rather than by film. So whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's Vietnam War, whatever it is, we think of the images from that rather than the film. So that to me is what the power of a photography icon can deliver. I mean, and these are very rare. You know, if I get 10 good photos a year, it means I'm doing very well.
That's so
most of the photos I take are rubbish, basically. But you have to shoot all this rubbish to get something half decent.
So if you're a sort of a normal shoot then, how many hundreds of photographs are you doing to try and grab the iconic one?
I guess I'll be doing around 500, something like that. And as I say, most of them will be rejected. And we save them because I've taken them. And maybe in years to come, it might be worth looking again at the images. But then I then edit from the, we load them onto a computer. And then we actually get them printed out. So even though we're digital, we get them printed out into 10:8 prints. And I will make the final edit from the prints rather than on the screen. Because in the end, my biggest income is from selling prints.
Yes. So hence the sort of photojournalist background in that as well.
I think photojournalist is the wrong word. Documentary photographer, that's what I am. A photojournalist implies it's someone who's working for magazines. And of course, that role for photographers is almost evaporated and disappeared. No one's got any budget anymore. It's just a few magazines like National Geographic, New York Times, that can still afford to send people abroad. Otherwise, particularly in this country, it's virtually dead.
Yes. And of course, everyone's got a camera now. So there's that whole debate about whether you stick with your Zoom DSLR lens, which has been called clunky, but presumably it's your kit of choice.
Yeah, no, I mean, they produce a very good file. But these days, the iPhone, I've not used the iPhone 15, but people tell me it's amazing quality. They're getting better and better all the time. So there might come a time when I'll ditch the DSLR and just go onto an iPhone. But we haven't quite got there yet.
Yes.
We'd have a file that would deliver a print, 40 by 60 inches.
And you're not sounding like a Luddite here. You're very embracing of new technology, but you know what kit you want to
use. Yeah, I have a team here who handle all my technical things, all the printing, all the scanning, all the processing. I don't do any of that.
So now we're on to two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film up. This is a bit, squirrels, what never fails to grab your attention, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you in your very hectic photographic life.
I like driving around beautiful places. I'll always go and see a Ken Loach film. He may have just produced his last one. I don't know.
So Ken Loach is a good answer for a squirrel. Nobody's ever said that before.
Yeah. There are certain media things that I'm always on the lookout for, but it's not one thing that sort of overrides everything else.
And any other sort of things that just make you stop in your tracks and just gawp at?
St. Paul's Carnival, for example, that's very good, but I had the camera with me, and that's always quite an extreme event. Bristol Pride, I like that. I like the craziness and the dedication of these events, and my job is to try and transfer that into a picture, which is not an easy thing to do, as I've explained.
And you're a bit of a seasoned Glastonbury vet as well. I know.
I've only been two times, in fact, because I'm in Magnum, which is a photographic cooperative, and their AGM is always in the same weekend as Glastonbury.
So they don't let you go.
I've been to Glastonbury twice and very much enjoyed it. Yes, it's a very important festival in terms of Britain. So it's good fun and. You can get some good pictures there, I hope.
And I love the idea you mentioned, the dedication of the quirkiness of a particular festival like Pride or Glastonbury. Or it's the dedication you quite like to go and immerse yourself in.
Yeah. I mean, people, they're very committed to the causes that that these festivals give people a chance to show off.
And what's the next sort of squirrel stroke festival that you're going to?
I haven't got anything planned, actually. I'll be going down to Bridgewater Carnival. I think that's in early November. That's another of these places. I mean, it's the biggest carnival in England. It may be the biggest in Europe. I'm not sure. And it's a strange place to have it, is Bridgewater. But that will go and that will be interesting. And, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll get something half decent from it.
And presumably they don't commission you to go, or maybe they do. I'm imagining that you go and then you're able to then, you know, bring them back into your own.
I mean, the Breen Festival was commissioned by someone.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'll just go anyway. But yes, it's all the carnival won't be commissioned. I'll just turn up. And I mean, I do a lot of commission work. I do a lot of fashion. I do, you know, I do commissions for magazines, but...
Okay, so I'm happy with your squirrel's answer. And now a quirky or unusual fact about you, Martin Parr, British documentary photographer, that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
God, I have no idea. I mean, I'm paid to do my hobby. So, you know, I kick myself sometimes when I think that, you know, that's actually happening.
Yes. And what happened to you during the pandemic?
Not much, really. I mean, I was looking through some of my old contact strips, doing a bit of walking. But no, I didn't do some amazing, crazy project that some people have done.
Oh, so, you didn't do a sort of, I know you did a Brexit dedicated project.
I did.
But you didn't do a lockdown one.
Not really, no. No. I mean, I tried to photograph the birds on our bird table, but the photographs were really crap. So I didn't bother with even putting them onto the site.
So you did some crap, but that's an unusual quirky fact as well. I did some crap bird table studies during the pandemic. Yeah. Okay, we've shaken your tree. Gosh, that was quite a reluctant shaking, but well done.
Mm-hmm. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The station that makes you feel good.
So now we're going to stay in the clearing, which is still in your EU++, the 10B. And now we're going to move away from the clearing. We're going to talk about alchemy and gold now.
Oh, blimey.
When you're at purpose and in flow, Carl, what are you absolutely happiest doing?
I guess going out and photographing, really. I'm sorry to bring it back to that. But, you know, when I'm at a great, you know, when you find something like a church village fete and it's got all the classic things in there, you know, it's like a cliche, I'm very happy then.
Oh, happiest in a cliche. That's a lovely answer, actually. They're richer than you appreciate. Comparing to other answers, that's a really good one. No one's ever said a particular answer. When it's got all the eccentricity of the British life going on, that's when you're happiest and in flow.
I mean, sadly, Nemnitz Rubnells, don't you think that's a great name? It's a village outside of Bristol up by Chewstoke. Their summer fete was cancelled this year because it was a very wet weekend. I don't even know if they actually postponed it or cancelled it. But yeah, I've always wanted that as a caption for one of my pictures. You know, summer fete, Nemnitz Rubnell.
That's very relatable. I run a comedy improvisation company in Bristol called Instant Wit, and we've been to places like Nemnet Thrubwell. In fact, I may have even been in that village hall. But there was, I remember a time when I was in a place called Upton Cum Kexby, and you're going, fantastic, good evening, Nemnet Thrubwell and Upton Cum Kexby are quite delightful things to be able to say.
Yeah, I mean, I did a project about Chewstoke where I photographed it for a year. Yes. So it was a year ago, in fact, for the Telegraph magazine. And we just had a show of it quite recently, which is very successful, but I have to say, even myself. And we did a book of the pictures that I took all that time ago.
I just saw that on your website of the Martin Parr Foundation today, and I know that book is £100, please, if you want to buy it, because I just happened to notice that seconds before we spoke.
No, that's the one with the real print on the top.
Okay.
No, the main book is £45.
So I've offered your readers a discount as well there by saying you don't have to buy the actual £100 tome.
Well, if you want a print on the front, then yes, that's what you have to pay.
Sure.
But members get 10% off. Assuming you're interested in photography, that is.
I definitely am interested in photography,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, which photographer do you like?
Well, I liked Ouija, as I said. My brother-in-law, called Christopher Cornwell Photography. Quick plug there. He's a brilliant photographer.
What does he do? Weddings?
No. He does bar mitzvah. No, I'm kidding. I'd
bring his bar mitzvah. That was fantastic. I went to that in New York. That was a very happy moment because it was so crazy.
Yes.
The dancing they do there is manic. And I've got a big folio of dancing pictures. So I was able to add to that very successfully by photographing a bar mitzvah, which was commissioned by Kodak, in fact. Everyone thinks Kodak have gone, but I think they're still just limping on in some shape or form in America.
We're now going to award you with a cake. Hurrah.
Right.
Do you like cake, Martin?
Well, I love cakes, yeah.
Okay, now I've got your interest. So what type of cake would you like, please? It's a metaphor.
Well, I think I'd have a coffee and walnut, please.
A coffee and
Are
walnut?
Are you going to send me one? Get me an M&S one. I'd be happy with that.
So, yes, you can have it's a metaphorical cake, but actually I do live quite locally, so there is a chance that I might be able to furnish you with the actual at some point. So now you get to put a cherry on the cake. You'll see where I'm going here. It's another couple of storytelling suffused metaphors. So on the cherry on the cake is, what's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you supper would you to your future?
I'm not very good at quotes, basically. I mean, I don't. The only thing I can quote is from... Is it Beware My Lord of Jealousy? It's the green-eyed monster which has mocked the meat its feet on. That's the only quote I know. And, it's not particularly inspiring to me because I understand what Shakespeare meant about jealousy.
Othello, very probably in that one.
Othello, yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Yes.
I failed my A-level English, actually.
And by the way, it was a favourite inspirational quote that always given you sucker rather than can you remember a random quote from your archive?
Well, it's the only quote I can actually remember.
It's a good quote and it does qualify to have answered that question. Within the cake structure then, what we're going to talk about now is what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Yeah, I have to go back to my grandfather. You've got to load your film in the dark, otherwise it's going to be exposed. So that's a pretty basic bit of advice that he gave me.
But what you've ended up doing, that is the most brilliantly clear and important piece of feedback.
I'm very happy to please you. I'm happy about
Martin, but that is just for a photographer to have had that advice from your granddad. Can you just say it again? Because here we are, a world-renowned British photographer is told by his granddad
to load the film in the dark. I mean, it's quite a tricky, you have to have this spool, which you load it up on. I mean, I used to do it very easily because... if I was to do it now, because I haven't loaded the film since 1982, I'd be pretty rusty. I wouldn't trust myself to do it. But I'm glad to see they're back all those nasty chemicals. Now, we don't have chemicals.
My son is doing a multimedia aspect to his course, and they've now got a dark room because there's great fun for kids nowadays to go back in to try and rediscover that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. It's come around again. No, you're right. People think if you take it on film, it's more precious. But that's not the case at all. I have constant arguments with different people here at the foundation. So some of them really like film.
I like the fact you said I have constant arguments. That doesn't surprise me. I'm only kidding.
No, you're not kidding.
So we're still in the cake.
Prairie here, just to wind you up a bit.
No, I'm really enjoying it. Sincerely, I am. And that's why I want you to come to Instant Wix. I think you're really enjoying it. What notes, help, or advice might you proffer with the beautiful gift of hindsight to a younger version of yourself?
I would say just getting closer.
I love that. For a photographer...
That's what Robert Capa said, by the way. I'm just picking up on what he said 50 years ago. That's the most famous quote from Robert Capa. Your photographs aren't good enough, you're not close enough. But yeah, that's the trouble. I mean, these students who came around this morning, they're so shy and so unable to answer any question. You can't imagine them going out in the street and taking a picture of someone. I mean, they'd die of fright.
Yes.
You've got to have a certain sort of gump in you where you go out and you've got to be a bit bold, you've got to be a bit daring, especially to photograph strangers in the street.
Yes. I do like the way you're described as being able to disarm your subjects by the fact you seem very non-threatening, particularly if you're there with socks and sandals and just sort of, talking about in their environment.
Right. Well, I don't try and hide what I'm doing. I've got a camera, I've got a flash gun. So, yeah, I'm quite visible.
But I can imagine energetically, because of what you, you know, I wouldn't feel threatened by you if you were to sort of approach me, if you know what I mean, just in terms of what one looks like. So I think there is something.
You're all embracing and you want to have, you know, an interesting life.
That's a good strategy, isn't it? To be charming, to invoke a currency of kindness. So yes, that's great advice. Okay, so now we're ramping up to a bit of Shakespeare. And by the way, this is the actual, well, this is not a first folio, but this is the actual complete works of Shakespeare that I bought when I went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School.
Okay.
Very thumbed. You don't have to do any Shakespeare. I know you know the line from Othello, but this is going to be inspired by All the World's a Stage and All the Men and Women Merely Players, borrowed from the Seven Ages of Man construct. When all is said and done, Martin Parr, how would you most like to be remembered? What would you like your legacy to be?
Well, I guess it's the folio of photos that I've built up, an archive of photos of you know, my time in Britain over the last 50 years.
And what would... That's a great answer, by the way. And do you have a favourite tome of work in your many, many projects?
Well, as I mentioned before, The Last Resort, which I did in the mid-80s, is probably my best-known body of work. And I guess I would submit that for your appraisal.
I'll probably approve. And also, I know in researching you, you have been exhibited the world over in the Tate, the Pompidou. These are just some. The Museum of Modern Art, of course, in New York. So wonderful to have you in Bristol, but here you are as a bit of a global photographic presence. Where can we find out all about Martin Parr and the Martin Parr Foundation on the internet, please?
Right. Well, if you go to the Parr Foundation site, there's lots of explanations. I've interviewed, I think, 26 photographers on our YouTube channel. And then we've got, you know, I was recently on This Cultural Life, you know, the Radio 4 thing, and subscribe to our newsletter. Then you get sent all the details of our parties and our openings and our seminars and the talks that we put on here.
And what about Twitter and other social media platforms?
I don't do Twitter. I mean, we do Instagram. You just put my name and it'll come up, yeah. And we show a set of pictures every week. So we try and make it interesting for people.
Yeah.
We have 6 pictures a week and we... It's usually about one particular theme. So many pictures in my archive, I can keep on, you know, dipping into it and come up with different themes and offer people, you know, 6 new pictures usually.
And so your archive must be pretty...
Very big, yeah. Yes. I think Magnum site, you know, because I'm a Magnum photographer, which is restorative.
Yeah.
I have something like 54,000 images, all high res, all ready to download, all keyworded. Yeah, so that's part of my income, is the licensing of images through that site.
Yes.
So we load up everything instantly. You know, everything, as soon as I take it, it gets loaded up onto the site.
And what's the sort of URL path for people to go and sort look for that database if they want to?
Yeah, you have to, you know, go to Magnum Photos, and I think you have to sign up these days, I'm not sure. And then you can explore this huge archive.
Wonderful. So is there anything else you'd like to say, or do you feel that is my moment in the sunshine?
I think that's it, really.
Thanks for watching and see you time.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, please do so. And if you'd like to have some coaching with me, care of my Personal Impact Game Changer program, then you can contact me and also about the show at chris@secondcurve.uk. On X and Instagram, it's @thatchrisgrimes. Tune in next week for more stories from The Clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.